Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Thursday, June 10th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping, you guessed it, backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear, and of course, enter your ugly chicken coop in the Ugly Chicken Coop contest we're having right now, sponsored by MyPetChicken.com. You can get all the details and enter your ugly chicken coop at ChickenWhisperer.com. Most, if not all, I haven't lately, but a lot of the entries, the pictures of the entries, that is, are listed at our website. You can go to ChickenWhisperer.com, go to Ugliest Chicken Coop Contest, and take a look at some of the coops that have already been entered into the contest. Some of the coops may make you love your coop that much more. Some of the coops actually may want you to make you want to enter your chicken coop into the Ugly Chicken Coop Contest. So take a look at all the coops that are entered up to date, and I say that loosely because it's been quite busy here the last 3 days, so when I get down to my final destination this afternoon, may have a little bit of time. If not tomorrow, I'll try to get the other coop. So if you've entered and you don't see your coop yet on the website, then just may show up over the next couple of days. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I want to invite you to join the live, ever so popular, Chicken Chat Room. It's going on right now. Believe it or not, you can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you got to do is click on the Chat Now button that's automatically up on our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. It says Chat Now. Click on that. Take a moment to register with Blog Talk Radio. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on into the live chicken chat room, have some fun, meet some new friends, and talk about backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Also, while you're there at Blog Talk Radio, I would like to invite you personally to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list. Hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Egg
eggcartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-882-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Mention the coupon code WHISPER and get 10% off your entire order. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is our last show this week. And, of course, as a reminder, there will also be no shows next week. Pat and I and my wife, Jen, broadcasting 52 weeks out of every year, other than just a few days off for the major holidays, Christmas and Thanksgiving, maybe a couple of days for New Year's, maybe Good Friday off. But for the most part, we broadcast 52 weeks out of the year. So this year, everybody needs a little break every now and then. So Pat and I, we're going to start our vacation tomorrow, no show tomorrow, and no shows next week. We will return on Monday, June 21st, and but we will be, if you're following us on Facebook or Twitter or our blog or our website, those will be updated regularly throughout the day. May even make you jealous and post some nice beach pics when we get down there on the beautiful beach at Ormond by the Sea. And that's where we're headed right after the show. We're going to close up shop and hit the road, on the road again. It is now time to bring on my wonderful co-host, wonderful author, poultry advocate, Pat Foreman.
Hey, Whisper. So now, did I get that right? You're driving right now, or you're on the road going down to Florida?
No, we decided we had a few more things to accomplish on the to-do list, and so as soon as the radio show is over, we'll be heading out of town.
Okay, what fun. Well, you certainly deserve the break. You and Jen will have a wonderful time down there. I bet you can't not think about chickens.
Probably not. Let's, we'll get down there. And we're hoping, and if you follow us on Facebook or on Twitter, Jen and I, we are scheduling. We've already got some good feedback from our fan page there at Facebook. Just go to Facebook.com, search for the Chicken Whisperer. We are going to schedule a dinner, kind of a dinner with the Chicken Whisperer. Of course, we're not going to treat for everybody, but you can still come out and we can have a great time. And I'm not sure when that's going to be. We've gotten feedback from lots of folks in the Daytona area, some people driving about an hour away, 2 hours away. So we're going to try to one evening, maybe next week, we're going to pick a restaurant and we're going to schedule it. We're going to create an event on Facebook and invite all our friends and fans. And if you're you determine how far you want to drive to come have dinner and have some fun one evening, it'll be Jen and myself and whatever friends and fans and listeners want to come and show up and break bread together, have some beautiful, wonderful, fresh seafood from the coast down there along Daytona Beach. So if just keep an eye out on our Facebook page and on Twitter, and So because we will announce that and schedule that probably sometime over the weekend. So we'll still have a little bit of fun with listeners, and of course we'll still be blogging Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff on our trip and what fun that we are having. But there'll just be no midday radio show. There's no show tomorrow, Friday, and then no shows next week. We will return Monday the 20th, but we're looking for it. Also on our Facebook page, I also scheduled another event that is now confirmed, and let me scroll down here a little bit. Come out and have some fun with the Chicken Whisperer. We'll be broadcasting live on location at the Sonic Drive-In Restaurant in Chattanooga. And, you know, Chattanooga both is part Tennessee, part Georgia, so I'm pretty sure, I want to say we're on the Tennessee side. I'm not real sure about that, but all the information is on our Facebook page. Ready for this? The first 50 people that day that mention the coupon code WHISPER get a free one-topping ice cream sundae. And so that's going to be on July 1st. Yep, Thursday, July 1st. We're going to start this event at 11 a.m. It'll go through probably 2 p.m., 11 to 2, and at the Sonic Drive-In Restaurant in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Already have several people commenting and emailing me that they're going to try to show up for that as well. And but the first 50 people are going to get who mentioned the coupon code WHISPER get a free one-topping ice cream sundae. Looking forward to that. We're putting it in the paper. We're contacting the news media. We're putting signs up. They've already got a big, I guess it's the Sonic dog costume. They're going to be out walking up and down the street with a Sonic dog waving at everybody. We'll have our banner up and our road signs up with the Chicken Whisperer. So we're going to have a really good time. So if you're, again, in an hour or two drive of Chattanooga, then we would love to see you and meet you. And, again, come on out and get a free sundae if you're one of the first 50 people that mention the coupon code WHISPER between 11 and 2. So we've got that down on the calendar. There'll be more of these over the summer as we travel around. We're looking at maybe having an event again down in the Daytona Beach area in July. So we love to get out when we're on the road and meet our friends, fans, and listeners. We had a great time on the 2010 Chicken Whisperer tour leg that was about a month ago when we hit, where did we go, Pat? We went to Nashville and Savannah, Dallas, New York, St. Louis, had a great time. Did some poultry workshops and met a lot of folks, had a good time doing that. So we'll just post these on our Facebook page and maybe even create a page on our website at chickenwhisperer.com. So I'm excited about today's show, Pat. How about yourself?
Oh, yes. Solar dehydration, I think it's just one of the most self-sufficient things you can possibly do. I mean, if you're growing your own food and then you have a way to put it up without having to refrigerate it and use electricity doing that or can it, you know, the cooking, I think it's just one of the best ways to do it. And I confess, I have not done it. It's on my plans this year because I made a commitment to grow at least half of all the produce I eat and then buy the other half at the farmer's market. So part of that is putting food up. And I've got a peach tree here that is just about ready to break its branches. It's got so many peaches on it. So I'm hoping to solar dehydrate some of those and maybe make some peach leather or whatever I can make out of it. And then of course, the sun-dried tomatoes are wonderful in January, February to put in sauces or salads or whatever. So, yeah, and Richard is one of the most knowledgeable people I know. So Richard Fruitberger from Back Home Magazine.
I just got my Back Home Magazine. I guess it was yesterday. I think I came in from the mailbox, had my latest edition of Back Home Magazine. In fact, I have it in my hand right now. And I'm going to be taking it with me and reading it on the beach. Maybe I'll snap a picture of me reading it on the beach and send it to Richard. And
there you go.
Hey, the Whisperer is reading Back Home Magazine on his vacation. But lots of great topics in this issue. How to repel deer. Successful urban composting. Yes, you can live off the grid. Preserving your fresh catch. So all of you fishermen out there, great way to keep that fresh the longest as possible. Your own, I love this one, and you'll love this one too, Pat, if you haven't got your episode, your edition.
I haven't gotten mine yet.
Okay, hey, your own backyard drugstore. And so if that right there is not worth subscribing to Back Home Magazine, I don't know what is. Your own backyard drugstore, and then an energy-saving metal roof. So, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just what's mentioned on the cover. There's some recipes in here about a mocha three-layer cake.
Ooh,
talks about herbs.
That's Judy.
Yeah, a modular fence, talking about some modular fences you can use for your raised beds to keep the rabbits and whatnot out. Absolutely. In fact, I see your book in here. There's listed at their bookstore that you can get Pat Foreman's book, Chick. Yep. And so all kinds of great information, and I'll be reading that on the beach.
Whisper, did you say, when you first started listing topics, did you say how to repel beer?
Beer, D-E-E-R, yep, how to repel
beer. Oh, deer.
Beer. Yes.
I thought you said beer, but really you said deer. And I said, oh my, I can't believe they wrote an article about how to repel beer. Especially in the summer.
Oh dear.
Beer.
There's a few recipes in here about soups du jour, a good article about shore creatures. I'll be able to read all the way down to Florida. Look out for these jellyfish and things like that. So, yeah, absolutely. Oh, noodles and catfish, talking about noodling and catfish. And if it just this a parade of amazing insects. You got to get this magazine, folks. It's just absolutely amazing, chock full of information. But also, let me remind you, if you're listening, go ahead and get a pen and paper out, because there's always great information when Richard comes on the show. So you can subscribe. Go to backhomemagazine.com, backhomemagazine.com, and you can get all kinds of information about how to subscribe to this wonderful magazine that I'm going to be reading on the beach. So I think I will take a picture of me doing that, and then I send it to Richard. And wouldn't that be great to have that on the cover?
Oh, God.
My super, super, super white legs that are reflecting the sun off my bald head under the umbrella on the beach.
Do you have a bib swimsuit?
I don't have bib swimsuit. Somebody mentioned that the other day. They said, you know, I didn't know they made swimwear out of bibs, but they said, yet I didn't know they made wedding attire out of bibs either, but you pulled that one off perfectly, so... Yeah, we had a great time. And until people see, honestly, I tell people and they kind of roll their eyes or like, yeah, whatever. But until they see the nice black bibs with the black bow tie, the tuck shirt, the cufflinks, you know, the cowboy boots, then it makes sense. And they're like, you know, that actually looks very presentable. When you have some eye candy like my wife standing next to me, of course, it takes a little bit away from the overalls and do it should. But yeah, it's... I pulled it off, and people actually, when they see it, they're like, hey, that doesn't look half bad. But bibs on the beach, I don't think so. Typical Hawaiian swimsuit and a T-shirt. Got my Dukes of Hazzard T-shirt. I got my Hee-Haw T-shirts that I routinely wear on the beach.
I think you should, you're such a celebrity. I really think you should wear a thong on the beach and get a total tan.
Well, I can tell you right now, if I did do that, I would have the entire beach to myself.
Well, you never know. It might be on the cover of some famous magazine.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even want to name that magazine what it may be called, I can tell you the whole beach to myself if I did that.
Well, that might be a good strategy, really, if you want to have time to yourself, just wear your thong.
I guarantee you. All righty, let me go over here to the switchboard, and we'll go ahead and get started talking about solar food dehydrating. Richard Frudenberger, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Andy. How's everything going? I just caught the very end of that conversation there.
Oh, my goodness.
About the song?
For the last 10 minutes, Richard, we've been bragging about your magazine. I got my issue in the mail yesterday. I told everybody I was going to be reading it on the beach. I told them that I would actually take a picture of me reading Back Home Magazine on the beach and sending it to you. And then somehow it got mentioned that, oh, that would be a great cover of my bright white legs, the glare of my bald head, wearing a flowery shirt and a swimsuit under an umbrella reading Back Home Magazine. And we were thinking not. And then, of course, my wonderful co-host had to go off and tell everybody that, hey, I think maybe you should wear a thong.
Yeah,
and I told her that the beach would definitely have the beach by myself if that was going to occur, which it is not. But yeah, we just went through your magazine. Go ahead.
Well, Whisper, you also told them that you had they had an article in there on how to detour deer, which is what I heard.
Deer. You said deer. I said deer. Yeah, we went from cover to cover talking about what all the great things were in there. I told people to get a pen and paper for today's show, but told them how to subscribe to this your own backyard drugstore. It's just amazing information in here. It's awesome. So get your pens and paper out for today's show, and then go to backhomemagazine.com and subscribe, because now you just know exactly all the great information that this magazine is chock full of. So perfect. Today's episode, we're talking about solar food dehydrating, which we're all anxious to see, because, again, if there's no power, I can't go in there and use my Nesco dehydrator, no matter how much I would want to. So just like on Monday, we learned a little bit about solar water purification. Today we're going to learn about solar food dehydrating. So Pat and Richard, take it away.
Okay. Pat and I briefly discussed this the other day, just a little overview. And really, there's a couple of different reasons to do this. Now, a lot of people dry herbs. A lot of herb gardeners dry herbs. As most people know, herbs are expensive to begin with. At the health food store or at the grocery store, they're obscenely expensive at the grocery store, because they go through so many middlemen and handled so many times and whatever. But even at a health food store or a co-op or whatever, they're a little pricey. So people can grow them themselves and then dry them themselves and come out way ahead. And these are, even common herbs like oregano and some of the Italian herbs and such, not even exotics, and they can get pricey. So drying them is the way to go for economy, and electric drying can get expensive. And then on top of that, to segue into the next kind of food, a lot of people dry fruits and vegetables and other heavier, they're more moisture laden foods, and they can get really expensive when you use an electric dryer, because they have to be in there longer. Of course, you have to fix the slicing and preparation and such. But essentially, when you use an electric dryer, as good as they may work, they can pull some power out. And of course, multiplying that times the number of hours that different foods may require to dry, you can be looking at several days of drying. And even though those things are thermostatically controlled. Mm-hmm. They still do take some time to work. So the natural progression is to use the sun. Now a lot of people just set up a window screen on some blocks and stick their fruit slices or their oregano leaves or whatever it is out on the screen and let the sun do its work. But there's a couple of problems with that. One is that there's insects outside and other pests, and to resolve some of that, you can put cheesecloth or some other type of lightweight netting or whatever over the food. But the food ends up sticking to the cheesecloth for whatever reason. I guess the moisture just travels upward and they sort of makes a glue or whatever and sort of fastens itself to the netting. So it's not stuck really hard, but it's just a pain to pull them off, and you do have to turn the pieces over and move them around a little bit, so it can get to be a problem. And the other thing is, there may be bigger pests, animals, cats, dogs, other birds and such. Even with the screen, with the netting on top, it's not going to, or the gauze or lightweight cloth on top is not going to prevent a larger animal from just helping themselves. And of course, the other thing is, outside like that, in a situation like that, if it gets cloudy or if it looks like rain or whatever, you're going to have to take it all, sort of dismantle the whole thing and move it inside, that kind of thing. So it is a bit of a problem. So people have developed, and there's quite a few designs out there in various forms, but people have developed some enclosed food dehydrators or dryers, cases. Boxes, cases, cabinet-style things, all designed to really help in the proper dehydration of food at the proper temperatures, and that's really a critical issue. So that's the basic the basic premise is to get the food in there and get the moisture out in a reasonable amount of time at the proper temperature and at the proper humidity, which means controlling the airflow, which is rather difficult to do unless your design is right. And there are a number of designs, as I said. A simple search on the internet will bring up a lot of different designs. Some of them are made of cardboard boxes and pieces of cardboard cut, very simple things. And some of them are fairly complicated plywood cabinet styles with sloped glass fronts and various levels of drying rack within it. And some use electric bulbs inside as a aid to auxiliary drying when the sun is not available, and some use fans to help blow the air through to keep the humidity levels at the right point, because you do not want to allow moisture to hang on the food as it dries, because it can create mold and mildew and stuff you don't want on your food. So you need to keep that air moving. Fortunately, some of the better designs, and we are working on one with the Appalachian State University up here in Boone, North Carolina. Which, when I say working with them, I mean on an article more than anything else. They have been at the forefront in designing some really nice small scale. Well, I wouldn't say too small scale, but home scale and small commercial scale dryers, solar dryers, because they have a really good solar and renewable energy program at that school. And over the years, they have developed a number of different designs and different sizes based on certain designs, and that's more of a larger cabinet style design. But they have come to a lot of good conclusions regarding how much temperature is required, how to get the airflow correct, and all that kind of thing. And there's a couple of other designs on the internet, and also in a book. It's actually a book called called The Solar Food Dryer Book by a guy named Eben Fodor, and he, in the solar world, he's pretty much recognized as a really good resource for dehydrators. And he has a one of the designs there is a fairly small cabinet design that uses window screens, or you can order specially screened screens that don't have non-toxic food grade screens that you can put in there. As a replacement for the normal window screens, which will not impart any of the zinc or the aluminum or the any of the other bad stuff into the food, if people are concerned about that. My approach to that is just use a nylon or a composite based plastic type window screen, which doesn't have that heavy metal issue with it. So it may not be food grade, but it's not awful. So. And they're just available anywhere. So, my goal would be to recycle some old windows, old storm windows, and just use the screens from that and build the cabinet around the size of the screen you have, instead of trying to find screens or build special screens once you've built the cabinet. So that's the way I'd do it anyway.
You can, when you talk about fans and having this, if you go out and do your research and try to make kind of a solar dehydrator you're going to use in your yard that may try to, eliminate some of the pest, eliminate some, based on where you live out in the very rural area or backyard's not fenced, like maybe urban area, bugs. So you talk about fans, first thing that came to mind is you can get solar fans pretty easy anywhere. Lots of folks sell those. So it could be totally solar. You have your solar fans, you're using solar light and the heat to actually to dehydrate. Now, as you're talking about this and the sunlight and things, when you dehydrate, for example, in your oven, if you don't have a true dehydrator and you just crack the oven door a little bit, like some people say, and turn it on like 200, and they have recipes like that for jerky and whatnot. I guess it's just more the temperature more than actually the sunlight when we're talking about solar. We're using the solar heat to dehydrate, but even on a cloudy day. That may be 90, 93, 94, degrees, 92 degrees. Am I right on that, or am I wrong? You don't have to have the sunlight to dehydrate outside with solar. Where it's just, even if it's overcast, but if you have the heat and the fans going, you're still doing the process of dehydrating your food. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's actually that's exactly right. Actually, the temperatures in a dehydrating process are quite low. There, some foods and some sources. Purdue University has done some nice work in this area. They recommend temperatures as low as 95 degrees Fahrenheit, and your typical drying heats are going to be really, you know, the high end of that's going to be 120 to maybe 135 or so. So it's really not a hot temperature. As you said, it doesn't have to be direct sunlight. In fact, you don't really want direct sunlight. Mm-hmm. The heat from the sun will, or heat from even a cloudy day will achieve those lower, you know, 95 to 110, 120 degree Fahrenheit temperatures. And you know, the sun really is also helping. The warmth in that is also helping in the airflow. That's what you're doing, is you're also creating a convective flow of air, which it just brings in the incoming air at the bottom of the device through a screen, so the bugs don't come in with the air, and sends it upwards through the channels and the screens, and sends it out again through the top, because air is going to flow from warm air is going to flow from its, you know, cooler to warmer area, so it'll send it through the device and then out the top. It's not a rushing speed. It's very, very gentle. What you don't want to do is to increase the speed of that airflow. The big mistake is to get the temperatures too high. And when you start getting up into temperatures of over 150 degrees, I mean, your cooking temperatures are starting at 160 to 180 degrees Fahrenheit. That's your internal food temperature for cooking, and that's definitely not what you want. This isn't a solar oven; it's a solar dehydrator. And your temperatures that we were talking about before, in the 120 to 135, 40 range, are your nice drying temperatures. But as you get to the upper end of that, into the 140, 150, you know, pushing the 160, you start to degrade the enzymes in the foods, and you really don't want to. That's a denaturing temperature. You really don't want to keep it at that point too long, because as you start destroying enzymes, you start destroying the whole purpose of preserving the food. So down in those lower temperatures are what you're really aiming at. And of course, it takes a while, but you know, in an enclosed container like that, it's not like you have it out in the rain or anything like that. I mean, it obviously you wouldn't want to leave it outside in a rainstorm and then forget about it for a few days. I mean, you will have to move it indoors. And maybe even consider a bulb inside. Some designs do have that backup bulb. So if you're halfway through your drying process and you come into a spell of rainy weather, you can haul it inside and, you know, put it in the garage or patio or over in under the deck or something, and just let the bulb take over. But you did make a good point before. Those little muffin fans, those little small computer type fans, and some of the very low amperage 12 volt fans that can operate on very inexpensive 12-volt photovoltaic panels would be an excellent addition to some of the designs here, where you'd have your sun providing the heat, or your cloudy day providing the heat, and the sun providing the energy for the fan. So you really don't have to worry about a plug-in cord at all. It can all be self-contained. And some of those little PV panels, like they use for charging laptop computers, or small fan devices, are very, very inexpensive in some of these surplus catalogs. I've seen them at flea markets, at trade events where people are swap events, I guess, where people are swapping out, you know, electronics and solar stuff and all this kind of stuff. And you know, you can get those for $35. I mean, it's not that difficult.
Very good. Richard, have you dehydrated food at your place? I know you're a very good gardener.
I haven't really done it at my place. I've done it in the past. We have tested and I've tried out a few different designs, a cardboard one and a very large one we had back at our old eco village from years past. Mm-hmm. That was a little bit cumbersome. I have to admit, I did not really do much more than your standard stuff, like I've done apple slices, herbs, and some of the other things. I've never really tried some of the more exotic vegetables that are more moist and would take longer time. But I can pretty much attest to the fact that with you know, with the right attention, or at least keep it, paying attention to it and keeping your eye on it, they will dry, you know, quite nicely. And again, that really depends on the quality of your dryer. And I would say that the newer, more research has been done in the past few years on this kind of stuff. And I would say the newer designs are probably more more adept at this than some of the old ones. Although there are a couple of old ones. One particular one I'm thinking of was made of a 55-gallon metal barrel that actually had contained vegetable oil, so it wasn't like it had it didn't have motor oil in it or anything like that. It was food grade. It was a food grade barrel, and that's sort of important because that stuff will even in a well cleaned situation, if it's been scrubbed and soaped and everything, it's still going to exude the odor of kerosene if it had something bad in it. So obviously you would not want to have any kind of a chemical barrel or anything like that. But anyway, the this design was developed by a couple of folks up in New England who had been doing this for years and years. Actually, it was a really nice working design that didn't look obtrusive. It was just a real clever, didn't hold a lot, but it held a lot more than some of the electric ones that are really tabletop models. And that worked out real good. And this design has been around for 25 years. I mean, this is an old one. But some of the newer ones, we had in an issue of magazine just a couple issues ago, we had an article on food dehydration. And the design that this woman built for her home purpose was taken out of this book I just mentioned, the solar food dryer book. And it worked out perfectly well for her. I mean, she was just ecstatic about it. And it was just a great thing for her. This one is, I don't know, I guess it's about 3 foot by 4 foot, something like that. It's not all that big, and there's a couple handles on the side so you can pick it up. And it's made of plywood, but it's not incredibly heavy. I mean, it can be rolled or hefted up and moved if you have to.
How does humidity affect the process of solar dehydrating? Because down here in the South, it gets real humid, or maybe if you're on the coast, or maybe, you know, if you're in a very oxygen, or maybe you're in Denver and you have less oxygen out there and much less humidity. How does humidity affect backyard and solar dehydrating?
Well, I'd say that for the most part, the rule of thumb is the drier the day or the drier the region. Like Colorado is going to be a better situation all around than, say, North Carolina or Georgia or something like that because of our humidity. The drier the better, and the drier the quicker. The more ambient low humidity you have, the quicker the drying is going to occur. Just the opposite with highly humid situations, it will just take longer, and in some cases, if you were on the coast, probably much longer to get the same type of food dried there than it would say in a higher elevation. Well, besides elevation, just a lower humidity environment. To be honest with you, I don't really know what the elevation of your locale would have to do with it, but it's not really cooking, so I don't think it would probably have a whole lot to do with it. I mean, other than the fact that the elevation may control the, as you go higher, you'll probably get lower humidity, so so that's probably a good thing. But I don't think, like in cooking, I don't think elevation should have a real effect on boiling times as you would normally have in cooking beans or something, because you're not really cooking it. You're just drying it at a lower temperature. Again, you know, with the humidity, it's more a factor of not only the length of time, but also the more humidity that hangs on the fruit or the herb leaf for the longer time, the more open you're going to be to mildew at first and then mold if it really just sits on there. And of course, you don't want to do that. So the point is to keep your eye on there and to make sure it's not just stagnating in there. And part of that, a good part of that, is the design of the dryer. If some older designs had just, in an effort to get some more food through there in a given drying cycle, they'd stack, 12 or 15 racks in there, hoping that the air would flow through all that. No, it doesn't really work that way. The point is with a couple of racks, 2 to 4 racks in there, or a single rack or two racks, whatever, it's going to work a lot better and mitigate some of that moisture problem a lot more easily when you're asking the air to move through only a couple of screens with food on it, as opposed to 6 or 10 screens. And the other half of that equation is that you do not stack your food. You do not stack your food or layer the food at all. The idea is to lay it out on the rack, spread out on the rack, so it's not touching one another, and there's plenty of each individual piece, be it an apricot slice or an apple piece or a herb leaf or whatever. Each individual piece does not touch its neighbor, so the air has plenty of room to flow around each individual piece and move on to the rack above it maybe and go through that individually and then on its way out the machine. So, that's really the key is to give it plenty of air space between and to not try to layer it through 6 or 10 different courses. Of course, some of the designs that are powered with fans in it can handle that, but for a solar dryer, they usually are limited to, one or two racks, so it's, there's no real moisture problem.
I have a question for you, Richard. Does drying and dehydrating the food drastically affect the nutritional value or the enzymes that are contained in it? I mean, I know it can't be as good as fresh food, but does it drop quite a bit?
No, that's the whole point. When you start cooking, when you actually start cooking, when you get to the 160 degree level, you are degrading, in some foods significantly.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the higher end of just the denaturing temperatures, which I said were, in the 135 and up into before it gets to cooking, you will degrade to some extent, but it's certainly not serious. Not as much as cooking or overcooking. But when you're drying at these lower temperatures, it doesn't really affect those enzymes, and it's actually locking them. The point is to try to lock that nutrition in before it has a chance to just escape altogether. You're sort of freezing it in time, and it's a tricky balance between losing some of that and starting to degrade the food through through decomposition or molding. So the point is to get it dry before it loses its enzymatic and nutritional value. And really the safest way to do that is to keep those temperatures low and just keep your eye on it to make sure that it's not getting too wet. And the other thing is, as I said, food preparation. Each type of food requires, each family of food requires sort of a different type of prep, so that you don't want really thick slices of fruit, for example, that will take a real long time.
Long time to dehydrate. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, Richard, we're going to take a break here and we'll be back in just a few minutes. We're talking with Richard Freudenberger. He's publisher and technical writer of Back Home Magazine, and we're talking about solar food dehydration and drying. So we'll be back in just a little bit.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in just any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends and neighbors with your very own custom labeled egg carton from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com and save 10% off your entire order by using the coupon code WHISPER.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Presenting the Clapper. Let your appliances turn on and off just by clapping.
Clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off.
The Clapper.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today. Again, if you're just tuning in, our special guest, because it is the second or fourth Thursday of the month, is Richard Frudenberger, publisher, technical writer for Back Home Magazine, great publication, and you need to subscribe. Go to backhomemagazine.com, chock full of information. Just got my issue yesterday. I'll be reading it on the beach. Some of the articles on the cover talk about how to repel deer, not beer, but deer, successful urban composting. Yes, you can live off the grid. Preserving your fresh catch for all the fishermen out there, your own backyard drugstore, an energy-saving metal roof, and tons more inside the cover and the back cover. So lots of information. Encourage you to subscribe to that magazine. Today we're talking all about solar food dehydrating. And so lots of great information. Hope you brought your pen and paper. We've got about, before we have to wrap it up, about 6-7 minutes. So, well, what else can we learn about solar dehydrating? Richard and Pat?
One thing I didn't mention, we were talking about direct sunlight, and the point is you want the heat and you want some of the effects of the sun, but you don't really want the food to be exposed to direct bright light for ever because it's going to overcook. And also degrade the food somewhat because it'll pull some of those nutrients right out. There's some little tricks to managing these smaller solar dryers, and they are definitely not automatic like the thermostatically controlled plug-in ones. But as we said before, they're a lot less expensive. You can cut a piece of cloth like a white sheet or a definitely a lighter colored sheet of muslin or white bed sheet to cover the glass front of the solar food dryer, not the vents, because there'll be a vent near the top, usually at the back, that will let the warm air exhaust out of the cabinet. You don't want to block that, but you can help control the effects of the real direct sunlight by just laying a white cloth over the large glass insulation panel, which is at the top of the dryer, and that allows the heat in and some of the effects of the sun, but not the direct sunlight. So that's good. And the other thing I failed to mention before, as I said, the point was not to these designs. The better ones usually don't have multiple racks inside where you'll have 6 or 10 racks, because that sort of blocks the airflow, which you don't want to do. So some of the smaller designs just have 1 or 2 racks in there. So that does sort of limit the capacity. But what the way to get around that is while one cycle of food is drying within the dehydrator, you can be sort of pre-drying another the next set or even the next two sets about to go in on racks that you can set up on little stands or saw horses right out in the yard, and using the same screens that would fit inside the machine, so that you can just pull out the already dried racks of food, and then slip in the partially dried ones ready for the next round, and then you sort of keep it going like that. So you can double or triple your capacity that way, after a sense anyway. And the point there is, again, not to you don't want to set those things up out in the direct open where insects can get to them, but say you have set them up on a stand or something, you can put some parchment paper, not so much cloth, as I said, the food tends to stick to the cloth, but just a cooking parchment paper over top of the food before you set it out to pre-dry, and the food will not stick to the parchment, and it will get, there will be some effects of drying over there. It'll also protect the food from insects lighting on it or whatever. So again, that's really just a pre-drying technique, but you can use that, roll that paper up and use it over and over again, within reason. And that sort of saves a little time in prepping the food for the next, the next cycle in the dryer while you take out your already dried food. Just slip in this pre-dried food and let it finish up inside. So there's little tricks you learn to do this. And again, all this stuff is reasonably inexpensive once you've built the dryer, which will vary in price. I mean, if you have scrap wood and screens around, you can probably get by pretty cheaply. You will need a sheet of glass, but again, the storm glass from a storm door will usually works just fine. I would say just for safety's sake to try to use tempered glass. Most of the glass you're going to find for around the home use these days is going to be tempered anyway. But if you can't locate the tempered glass, I would really make an effort to try to do that, because if there's any children around or any situation where you might inadvertently knock up against it or whatever, a tempered glass will break into little chunks and not really be a tendency to cut you, whereas a normal sheet of glass will break into shards and definitely will be a problem, especially with kids. So just for safety's sake, I would look for some tempered glass, even if you have to get it cut and tempered at the store. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really good. Richard, I hadn't thought before about the sort of pre-drying fruit, which you could just do on a screen like you were talking about initially, just putting a big screen out there, maybe two screens to keep the bugs off, and just kind of getting it dry before you put it in the regular dehydrator.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, even for somebody who, especially with herbs, which are thin, leafy material, it's a good starter for people who may not want to jump into it all at once. You want to sort of get an idea for how long it takes. A window screen, preferably some nylon or some other composite rather than the zinc or other, other metal screen. On a couple of sawhorses with, like I said, the parchment paper over it and the leaf, on the screen, a great way on a sunny day just to see how it goes. The other thing I want to remind people, and this is, it sounds silly, but it's easy to make a problem, you should label it. Once you start, you need to label the herb or whatever that you have on there, because especially with herbs, they look a lot different once they're dried. In fact, look very similar once they're dried to each other sometimes.
You probably
notice, in the kitchen, once it's chopped up and such, you can't tell the difference between, except by smelling it, one from the other sometimes. So labeling it beforehand and keeping them separate as you store them is, always a good thing, because, like I said, once they're dry, they tend to look, sort of similar.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Very good. Well, Richard, is there one particular design? I mean, I'm going to go out now and start to look at lumber and see what I got laying around. Do you recommend the solar dehydrators that have the little chute going up to bring the hot air in, or just some that have a little fan in the top? As advice for a gal that's just starting solar dehydration, what design would you recommend?
I probably wouldn't
cardboard
go for
box?
If you can find a good, there are a couple of good cardboard designs. There's a group in Arizona. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the group, but they're based in Arizona. Is a sort of a open source cardboard box design that you can probably find on the internet. That's a good start. But I would probably, for a first timer, avoid the kind with the big long sloping extension of a collector with a ramp and then the cabinet behind it, only not because it doesn't work, they work quite well, but only because it's just complicated and there's a lot of some money involved in the investment and time investment. I would stick with a nice small either a cardboard box design or possibly the one that I was talking about mostly here, this book, the solar food dryer, has a excellent small, as I said, it's a couple foot and a half high maybe and 3x3 or 3x4, something like that, 42x36. Very simple, fairly inexpensive, works great. If you want to get into a little bit of building skills there, that would be the way to go. I mean, I'm sure there's other ones that are comparable. This is the one I know about, and it'd be a good middle ground to start in on. And I'm sure a clever person could take a cardboard box or make a cardboard-based design using this design, but making it out of cardboard instead of wood, and it would probably work just great.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great idea. I am going to start out playing around with cardboard because my carpentry skills are not that acute or talented. They should be better than they are, but they're not. But Richard, thank you so much. I mean, I learned a lot this session about dehydrating food and using solar dehydrators. Certainly one of the key things in putting food by inexpensively and for long term. So, Whisper, do you have any final questions or any comments for Richard before we sign off here?
What a great show. Lots of information. Hopefully all our listeners took notes and got all this information down. As always, always, always very educational. And if you missed anything or you like what you hear on the second and fourth Thursdays, then you can get all of this information and oh so much more by subscribing to Richard's magazine, backhomemagazine.com. You can go there and subscribe. I encourage you to do so. And I know a lot of our listeners have already and are absolutely thrilled with their purchase. So, Richard, again, thank you so much. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Let's see, July, if you'll get cut off with our vacation in July. Nope, it looks like here on the 9th and the 23rd you'll be on, and that just basically straddles our week-long vacation in July as well. So we look forward to seeing you and back here in a couple of weeks.
Okay, good. We'll talk to you then.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
All righty, folks. Well, that wraps it up. I want to remind everybody that there will be no show tomorrow, unfortunately. No Fun Friday tomorrow, and there will be no radio shows all next week. Like I said in the chat room, we broadcast live last year, 52 weeks straight, other than just a couple of days around the Christmas holiday and the New Year's holiday, the Thanksgiving holiday, but for the most part, 52 weeks straight right here on Blog Talk Radio, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So thought that Pat and I and my wife needed a little bit of a break, so we're taking a week off in June and then a week off in July. So don't forget about us, because we'll be back broadcasting live Monday, the 21st of June, so tune in back then. And, of course, we'll be posting all of our fun and all of our events on Twitter and on our Facebook page. Go to Facebook, search for the Chicken Whisperer, and I will be scheduling a fun fan dinner, listener and fan dinner that we'll have all together. So if you're within however far you want to drive to Daytona Beach, we'll have a fun dinner sometime next week. We can all hang around, laugh, and have a great time. And we hope you have a wonderful summer and a wonderful weekend. And we'll see you back here Monday, June 21st. Pat?
Yeah, okay. Well, what a great show. I always learn so much on these shows. But in closing, thanks again to Richard Frudenberger. He's publisher and technical writer of Back Home Magazine, wonderful magazine. And, of course, thanks to all our sponsors for supporting the Chicken Whisperer Talk Show. Thanks to Andy Schneider. Don't get sunburn all over your body, Andy, but have a great time on the beach next week, and we certainly look forward to pictures. And, of course, thanks to the chat room chickeneers for clucking along. We'll miss you next week, but certainly our thoughts and thoughts will be with you all. Looking forward to the week afterwards when we can pick up on this again. And, of course, thanks to blogtalkradio.com for providing the radio chat and video services. Looking forward to hearing that Take 5 Plus 2 theme song coming along again. And, of course, as always, blessings to all, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody. Oh.